CliffCentral.com.
That is the Chainsmokers with Closer, featuring Halsey. Nice. It's a happy song, right? It's beautiful. All right, everybody, let's get on with it. We've got things to do, people to see, places to go. There's no time to waste on a Thursday morning, and we won't waste any of it with you. So, first things first, let me just see where this clip is from Jensu. Can you send it to me again, Pashida? I know you sent it to me 8 times, and I keep losing the damn thing. Jensu sent me something. Ben also found me a really cool clip of Julius, where he talks about favoring position over principle. This is amazing. Let's go to that first, and we'll get the Jensu clip straight after.
Merlin Guardian, Matuma is here. He puts Mbalula and Malusi Kigaba as front page. Every time I speak about Merlin Guardian, I mention Matuma because he's the most seasoned person. I don't even mention the editor because she's extremely challenged. So I don't want to talk about him. So I mentioned Matuma because a seasoned journalist, he has been there. And I know him. The first interview I did when I was elected president of COSAS, the first newspaper to interview me, a serious newspaper, was Merlin Guardian, and it was Matuma. And that is a long time ago. So I know him. That's why I always say, when I say Merlin Guardian, I say Matuma. Don't think there's anything against him. Put Malusi Kigaba and Mbalula, and they say young lions. Those are young lions without teeth. There's nothing young lions about Malusi. If anyone hopes Malusi can rescue the ANC, then the ANC is hopeless. You know, the recent example, which is extremely personal but necessary, is two women fighting over Malusi, a minister, and he's got no control over them both.
Sure.
If you can't handle such a small thing, how can you handle a complex company called South Africa? Malusi was running the election of the ANC in 2014. Mbalula had to be called again to rescue it because Malusi is hopeless. The same thing with Mbalula. No, let's finish Malusi. Malusi is also on the payroll.
Let's finish with him.
Of Gupta's. Remember, he gave that girl from outside 300,000. I don't know what it's called in dollars. Where will the minister get 300,000 to keep cash, to give a concubine?
Yo!
Minister becoming a blesser with a stolen money. 300,000. We said this before. It's only those who are in the Gupta's payroll who can afford to bless with 300,000. This one called Mbalula, I don't know if he's with the Guptas. The last time we were friends, he was not in the Gupta pockets. But anything is possible. But the man is hopeless because he doesn't represent anything. Mbalula can do anything for position. And people who love position more than principle, they are dangerous. If they were to put Malusi and Mbalula and say, I must vote, I will vote for Malusi because I know he hates what we stand for and he hates us. But I don't know what Mbalula stands for. So a hypocrite is more dangerous than the enemy itself, because you know where you stand with the enemy.
Isn't that interesting, huh?
Yeah.
You have to. This guy is such an adept politician. It's just in every sinew of his body. When Julius opens his mouth, he is exercising expert political behavior. He is realpolitik writ large. This guy is no pushover. And when he's talking like this, you've got to read between the lines too.
Yeah.
What he's doing is he's sawing through the columns that hold up the stage upon which the ANC stands. He's going for their weak points. He is expert at dismantling things that do not work politically. Expert. He's got the surgeon's scalpel, and he trims off a little bit every time he opens his mouth, until eventually it's like a toothpick, and it can't hold up the stage with all the fat cats on it.
No, he's astute, and he makes you, he really makes you think after you've heard, you know, him deliver one of his speeches or whatever. And he's also a great choreographer, hey? He just knows how to place things and to make them fit and to make them work together.
There are some people who say, for example, that Julius is you know, the rest of the EFF kind of hold him up. But this guy is firmly in the command seat. You know, there are great minds in the EFF. I won't deny that I disagree on a lot of ideological principles with them. But I have huge respect for Mbuyiseni Ndlozi, who's a smart guy. They may be rabble-rousers a lot of the time, but think about what they're saying. Look at how they've got under the ANC skin. The ANC hate them way more than the DA.
Well, it is because of the EFF that the president was ordered to pay back that 7 million rand. You know, they're the ones that pushed the Concord thing. And
so did the DA, but nobody cares, you see.
Yeah.
Because the EFF, it's all about positioning. Then there's Dali Mpofu. There's Godrich Gadi. There's Floyd. There are a lot of very smart people there. It's like a good brains trust if you're going to start a party. And forget not that these people were nowhere in 2011. There was not a party to speak of. They now have close on 10, 11% of the country backing them. And though their growth was very small in the last election, it was enough for them to have a kingmaker role in the biggest municipalities in South Africa. This is no small thing. All right, so you know who Tyler Henry is?
No.
I think I do.
Okay.
Is he the psychic?
Yeah, he's the medium. That's right.
Yes, okay.
There's a show called Hollywood Medium with Tyler Henry. He's a clairvoyant, and they're going into their second season, and Jen Su caught up with him in L.A. Listen to this quickly. This is interesting.
We are with Tyler Henry. He is a clairvoyant, a medium. He is the medium to the stars. Wow. I have to say, it's really great to be with you.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
And congratulations on your second season of Hollywood Medium.
Thank you. It's been amazing. The first season was so intense. I'm so thankful that I got renewed for a second.
Yeah, I mean, amazing. So you've done how many readings so far?
We're at like between 63 and 68 at this point. So somewhere in that region. It's been amazing.
Incredible. Now tell me a little bit about more what a medium is. I mean, some people say, well, what's that?
Right.
You know, so it's hard to understand unless you've actually seen your show.
Sure. Well, medium is more than a shirt size. People used to always ask me, like, why are you telling me your shirt size? But yeah, a medium really is somebody who's just fundamentally a conduit for information from people who have passed away. So my job is basically to take information that I receive intuitively and interpret it and deliver it to my clients in a way that's going to help them. So a medium is kind of in the middle between this realm and the next. And our jobs are basically to deliver information and help kind of bridge that gap.
And you've met so many celebrities, from Kim Kardashian to Boy George to Carmen Electra. I mean, just the number of people that you have met and gone into their homes and talked to them. What kind of interesting information have you derived from all of that?
Oh,
gosh, well, every single reading is absolutely fascinating, and because I never know what I'm walking into, it adds a whole element of unpredictability, even though I'm a psychic. So in all of these situations, I find that, you know, they're all inherently unique, but what I find so interesting is that fundamentally so many of these, you know, fundamental questions that these people have, everybody can relate to. I mean, we all experience loss. We all go through that. And so all these people, fundamentally, celebrity or whatever tier of celebrity, doesn't really matter. They all are needing those fundamental things.
And I remember you were talking to Khloe Kardashian and telling her that you could hear Rob, you could hear her father in a certain area of the room. And she had been also feeling certain, you know, things. Now, how do you actually get these types of feelings?
Right. Well, I always say my sixth sense kind of...
He makes them up, Jen.
...senses. So I might, you know, kind of see an image, I might hear a voice, or I might even get a physical sensation that corresponds with how someone passed away. Mm-hmm. And my job in a reading is basically to take all of these physical sensations and interpret them in a way that's going to make sense to the person standing in front of me and deliver that in a way to provide validation and closure. So I kind of use all of my senses to help understand what that person on the other side is trying to communicate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what about the homes? You must see many beautiful celebrity homes. So I want to know about the different homes of the different celebs.
You know, it's amazing. And what's so interesting about this season is that you see a wide range of different environments. I mean, we film in hotels. We went to Linda Blair's Dog Foundation, so you see all of that. And then, of course, there's the readings like Kris Jenner at her house, you know, in a beautiful mansion. So there's so much diversity that you see in not only the people, but the locations as well for the readings.
Amazing stuff. Now, what about South Africa? Have you...
I got to stop this for a second. If this dude can speak to Rob Kardashian, who's dead, and channel Rob Kardashian, and he could sit with Kris Jenner, couldn't he have warned Kris Jenner about Bruce Jenner and how she was wasting her time? I mean, isn't that dereliction of duty? If you know something like that, shouldn't you tell the person? That's kind of a biggie, right? Am I asking too much? Oh, your husband's going to become a woman. That's fairly important for someone to know if they pay you to come and do a reading. Don't you think?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on this one.
This Tyler guy wasn't...
Wouldn't you think I've wasted my money?
This Tyler guy wasn't a star back then, though, when, you know, Bruce became Caitlyn. So he wouldn't have been able to warn Kris.
Well... I feel like that's...
Because he's kind of like the new in thing in Hollywood right now.
I feel like that's a deal breaker, though. If you don't tell someone that their husband's about to be a woman, that's kind of a deal breaker. Come on, Tyler.
I've never been to South Africa, but I've had a lot of outreach from it since the show has aired, and I'm so thankful and so appreciative of all the support I've gotten there, and I need to visit soon.
All right, you morons. Stop sending this guy emails, all right? I don't want him to think that we're all a bunch of credulous idiots he can come and make money out of. If you don't mind, spread the word. If you... know a Tyler Henry fan, tell them to stop with all this correspondence with the man.
You definitely must visit. You've got a lot of support there, and we're very excited about the second season of your show. If you could, you know, give any advice to people who start to feel those certain feelings that you do, you know, this is definitely a supernatural type of talent and, you know, gift that you've been given. Right. What should they do?
I know people use the word supernatural and paranormal, and for me, my gift and my ability is my normal, and it's my natural. And I believe that we fundamentally all have the capability to have an intuition and harness our intuition. And so for me in a reading, you know, I am having to deeply require, I'm having to rely on, rather, the information that comes through to me intuitively, but we all have that capability to go with our gut, to get hunches. And I think that an important way of doing that is really just to quiet our mind and to unplug and to get away from all the distractions that we deal with in life, whether it's cell phones or crazy schedules. Finding time to be with our own thoughts is really important and is the best way to develop an intuition.
So what if you're with a certain celebrity, you know, maybe the Kardashians, one of the sisters, and you feel something very, you know, there's a strange vibe going on.
And, you know, Bruce is about to try and bang you.
What kind of dirt can you just give me right now?
You know, I always say I'm not responsible for what comes through, but I am responsible for how I deliver it. And so for me in a reading, my goal is to help a person. Hmm. And so I, you know, have no say in what I see, but the way that I deliver it, I do have a say in. And I have to be diplomatic and use discernment in the way that I put things so as to not offend a client or, you know, go past any boundaries that they might not be comfortable going past. So for me, I try to kind of keep it within their comfortability level, but sometimes it's important to tell people things that, you know, they might not expect you to say.
Kris Jenner, was she crying after the things that you told her?
You better believe she's crying. She's crying a lot.
Emotional, and she definitely had a reaction, and I think that that was a beautiful thing. People go into these experiences not knowing what to expect, and when they leave, they've gotten or received an experience that they never, you know, even remotely anticipated. So.
And what about dating? I mean, if you're with somebody, you know, don't you feel these, how can you actually be with a bunch of friends, go out with them and just have a normal night without hearing, feeling this, it must drive you crazy.
Right. Well, you know, for me, it's important to have kind of an on and an offness. And so when I go about my day-to-day life, it's a bit more of a radio, like a radio volume, and I kind of have to turn all the background noise down. But when I interact with friends and potential dates, I kind of get it out of the way and just tell them, you know, I'm going to have to give you a reading at some point. And I'll give the reading, and if they still stick around afterwards, then they stay friends and stay partners. But I pretty much read everyone close to me in my life just to get it out of the way, so it's not the elephant in the
What if they tell you that they think you're a complete bullshitter? How do you deal with that then? Psychic. What happens then? I mean, can you be friends with those people if they know that you're totally a charlatan?
Amazing. Any final words for your fans in South Africa?
Oh my gosh, well, I'm so thankful for the support that I've gotten from South Africa, and I cannot wait to visit, and I hope that
Please, you guys don't love
season two as much as I have.
Don't come here.
Everybody watches it. Can't.
We've got enough stupid people in this country.
We might not all be able
with
to get
pastas feeding them snakes.
Heal from watching a person heal.
Fuck, please.
Is really important.
And how do we follow you on social media?
Oh.
My Twitter is Ty Henry Medium, and my Facebook is Tyler Henry, so you can hit me up on all of those, and I look forward to being in touch.
Oh. Excellent. Tyler Henry, Hollywood Media, thank you so much for joining us.
Who in the hell they supposed to be? I will smack they ass silly, okay?
Yeah, thank you. All right, there we go. This is Tyler Henry. I mean, Jen Su meets interesting people all the time, but we have enough of the madness here. People eating grass.
Oh.
Pasta mboro.
Goodness.
Please, can we stop with trying to find... Why are people looking for fairy tales to come true the whole time? Reality is magnificent. You know, look through a telescope. You want to be impressed by things. If you want some magic in your life, let me tell you what you do. Microscopes and telescopes. You'll never get bored. Mabali, tell us about how the cell works. I mean, that to me is miraculous. You want to see how galaxies collide with each other in outer space? Look through a telescope. That's magic. There are people looking for dragons and dead people to talk to them and princess stories. Grow up. What are you, five?
It's to feed the longing, Gareth. They have a longing to...
You guys want some more crazy?
Have you got some more crazy?
Yeah, Lindsay Lohan, you know, bedraggled old firecrotch. She's she had some affair with some guy, I think knocked her up. Anyway, she's...
She's pregnant.
Russian guy.
So what?
This her, no, ex-fiance. And she... is.
What's going to come out of her?
Well... Russia's most popular talk show, right, is quite keen to chat to her. And the list of demands that she is making is just ridiculous. Firstly, she wants to be flown out there by a private jet. Yeah. Uh-huh. She wants a meeting with Putin. Okay? She wants a meeting with Putin and be flown out there. She wants a one-year Russian visa with extension.
Oh,
she
my God, that's crazy.
Pounds in cash.
500,000 pounds?
She wants her own security when she gets there. She wants hair and makeup on board on the private jet, so she arrives looking brilliant, and she wants the Ritz-Carlton penthouse suite for an interview. You think people, like, no one cares enough about her to any of those things,
she
right?
She is completely deluded.
Yeah, come on.
It's sad.
I mean, Lindsay, please. You know who I'd want to interview? Is her nutcase parents. I'd much rather have them on my show than her. Have you ever heard those two? They were on that one doctor something. There's so many doctors. Dr. Ray or Dr. Jose or Dr. Cuervo Gold. I don't know what his name is. She's on with him, the mom. That mother is, she, the weirdest thing is the mother, who is certifiable, sounds totally sane next to the father, who is a rampaging lunatic.
Yeah, I suppose Lindsay didn't really stand a chance between, you know, being raised by those two.
She had no chance.
But it'd be kind of amazing if she does then appear on this talk show, right? And then she's putting a picture on Instagram with Putin.
Why don't you get a motherfucking life, bitch? You've been raggedy since Lil' Kim first came out, and your ass is still raggedy.
Right. Well, thank you for your call. Anybody else want to comment?
You dumb bitch.
All right. Thank you, sir. There's no need for that. Everybody calm down. What a mad situation this is. Lindsay Lohan asking for all this stuff. That's like me calling up Ryan Seacrest and saying to him, hey, my name's Gareth. I do this radio show in South Africa. I'd like to come and be on The Kardashians. Make a space for me. I want a jet. I want a visa. I want bowls of fruit. I want you to get all the Smarties that are blue out of the jar. I want slippers made of unicorn's pubic hair. And please have it all done by Tuesday, and then I'll be there. And can you imagine he'll throw that letter in the fire faster than it even needs to be opened?
I never quite understood that whole separating the colors of sweets. That means that someone is touching the things you're about to eat physically.
Exactly.
I mean, that's just...
Exactly. Revolting. All right, everybody. Listen, we've got to talk to Fluvia Lacerda. I'm very excited to speak to her. Gorgeous woman. International plus size model, mother of two beautiful children, and between all of these things, like her schedule of work and children and responsibilities and flying all over the world, she also manages to find a way to love herself, which is something I think very few people in the world get right. That's probably why she can stand in front of a camera and look magnificent every time. You know, Mubs, they say modeling is all about confidence.
That's what they say, indeed.
And you see so many people, women and men, who are unhappy with the way they look. They don't embrace who they really are. Now, there are lots of things that you could say about, you know, how models look. Some of these women are emaciated. They look thin. They look unhappy. You could say, well, you know, someone who's fat, for example, is not particularly thrilled about the way they look. But there are people, and I know some people like this. I've met women who are either over the age of 50 and still look better than any 20-year-old I've met because of confidence, or women who have a certain body type that isn't what you'd expect, and because of the confidence, they just look really sexy. It's the way they move. It's the way they smile. It's that look in their eyes. And I'm not being patronizing, because you know I've said many things on this show about how I think it's unhealthy to be, you know, morbidly obese. I'm not talking about morbidly obese here this morning. We're talking about plus size models, which are women who look like ordinary women that you see in the street that you could relate to. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't know a lot of people who are married to supermodels. And I certainly don't know a lot of marriages to supermodels that have worked out. That's why a plus size model is someone you can actually relate to. It's someone who I think a lot of people in this country and in the world can understand, can figure out. And the fact that this is now a full-time job for someone as lovely as Fluvia is something I want to figure out. So we're going to talk to her, and she's coming in next. It's 14 after 8. CliffCentral.com. Give us a call. Tell us what you're up to. 0861-555-189. Like this?
Yeah, this has been on my phone for about 2 months. I love the song.
No, well, you never thought of suggesting it to me, did you?
Well, every time I suggest music on the show, some wise ass will tell me about Kylie Minogue.
It's Kungs versus Cookin on Three Burners. This girl, very sexy. We like that a lot, right? I like it. It's a summery song. Summer's coming. We can taste summer.
Around the corner.
It's right here. Listen, I got to tell you, Margaret Van Wyk is all over the internet. If you stumbled onto the internet today, you wouldn't even know who Pravin Gordhan was, but you'd know all about Margaret and that pelfy of hers.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something. Have a seat. Here she is. Everybody, get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Everybody get up and get excited. It's we try to bring the most interesting people from all over the world onto cliffcentral.com to talk to you, and this morning is no different. I am thrilled to have Fluvia Lacerda. That is such a sexy name.
It is. I love that name.
Where is that? Where are you from? Brazil?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. My buddy and I have always had a thing about Brazilians. She for the men, me for the women. Brazil has such an interesting genetic mix-up of...
Yeah. We were actually talking about that last night, how Brazilians never had the whole... separation of any kind. We just...
people just had sex.
We just... yeah, apparently it's in the genetics.
Man.
There's no prejudice when it comes to sex.
I was in Sao Paulo, what is it, 2-3 years ago now. And I've never seen such good-looking people everywhere I looked. On bicycles, walking around.
Yeah.
Every couple looks like they could be on the magazine cover. It's a beautiful
country.
It's
very diverse. Mm. Yeah. Very, it's very gorgeous. Diverse.
So listen, Fluvia... pleasure to meet you.
Likewise.
I have often been criticized by people who are, let's say that they say I do body shaming and all of that stuff. So I'm kind of expecting some flack from you, because you live in this world where you are actually a model who's praised for your amazing good looks, but in this case, your plus size model.
Yeah.
So you wear clothes that maybe these super skinny anorexic girls don't. And maybe you end up on as many magazine covers as they do.
It's actually the same clothing. It's just a different size.
Well, there we go. All right. So I get into shit because I will say to people that I think it's unhealthy and it's dangerous to be obese. Now, there's a difference between being overweight, which most of us are. I mean, according to the scale,
according
I'm overweight.
According to the BMI.
Yeah, right. I'm overweight. And I mean, I've seen pictures of myself where I haven't been thrilled about the way I look. But it takes some kind of extra courage in the beginning and later on self-confidence.
Yeah.
To be a model of any kind, but particularly to be a plus size model.
Yeah. It takes being very comfortable under your own skin, that's for sure. And it's something that I've always, it's something very innate to me. I guess for some people it's a process in general, but for me it's, I suppose, you know, the whole Brazilian culture is very embracing. And we have the whole natural sensuality to our people in general. And I suppose a bit of upbringing. My mother was always very, you know, very feminist, always encouraged us to do whatever we wanted. There was never a second thought about looks. Mm-hmm. It was always about you need to read books, practice sports, and go for your dreams. So
I was saying earlier, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, because no one's ever asked me to to model, so I wouldn't know the first thing. But it's all from the inside.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, it's easier to portray something in front of a camera if you feel that way inside. Be a plus size or a traditional model is just. I think it's easier to, it literally, I think it oozes out of you when you're working, you know?
And if you don't have that, I mean, I've seen very, very aesthetically beautiful people who are wallflowers and they almost look like they want to hide away the whole time. And it does, it detracts from their,
well,
their appearance.
Modeling, modeling in general is a ruthless business. Mm. And I've seen, like you said, stunning people who are so consumed by their insecurities, it just destroys them. I've seen so many people come and go, you know, because they can't handle the pressure. So it definitely requires tough skin.
What happens if you suddenly go and lose a ton of weight and you end up being too thin for the plus size model market? Are they going to fire you? I mean, what happens then?
There's more of a measurement requirement and than anything else. So,
I mean, are they constantly evaluating you?
No, you just have to fit the clothes.
Okay.
You know, so
right.
I think for as long as I can remember, I've always worn the same size clothing. So
in other words, I mean, you've got a very stable, consistent.
Yeah, I mean, I think people confuse, the fact that you eat healthy and therefore you should be thinner to, you know, if you are overweight, you eat crap food. I'm a very picky eater.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I like to eat, but I'm very picky about the things that I, you know, put in my mouth.
So you're not going around. No, of course. And
I love how she looked at me when she said that.
I'm reading between the lines.
I've grown up in the Amazon. So I'm literally grew up eating such a healthy kind of food, you know. And then when I moved to New York, a lot of people bash the food lifestyle in the States, but it's where I really got into the whole organic thing. I kind of had a broader understanding of the kind of food that it's around.
Right.
So
So if I bring you cake and shit like that, you're going to say no.
I'm actually not a fan of sugar.
Okay.
Believe it or not. I mean, I like carbs, but I don't do crap food at all.
Well, listen, I don't know how anybody can believe anything that dietitians tell us anymore, because they tell you butter's good for you, then they tell it's bad for you. Then they tell you that vegetables are good, but you mustn't have too many vegetables. Then they tell you sugar is the ultimate evil, and it turns out that fat might be just as evil. Who knows anymore?
Well, I have a very simple philosophy of life. You just do whatever the fuck you want.
That's the most important thing anyone could say. How do you manage to balance all of this with having two kids? And how can I ask how old you are?
I'm 36.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you look fantastic.
Well, thank you. Makeup does help.
I'm 15, but I look like shit, so you know, right? 36 years old, two kids. You obviously have a very busy lifestyle.
Yeah.
You're probably flying all over the world. You're probably having to stand for long hours, sit for long hours, pose for long hours. Everybody thinks modeling is very glamorous.
No, it's
a
not.
Lot of hurry up and wait.
Yeah, it's a lot of hurry up and wait. And there's absolutely nothing glamorous about it.
Really?
No.
Nothing. Because people, a lot of women will look at your life and say, well, she gets these amazing.
No, I'd be lying if there aren't perks. I mean, sure. It's nice to travel the world and get to meet amazing people, have different experiences that you wouldn't otherwise, but it's very, very tough. Very tough.
So how often do your kids have to say, oh, mom, okay, we'll see you in 2 weeks?
Yeah, every 2 weeks.
And your kids are 16 and 2 years old?
Yeah.
Wow. It's a gap, huh?
Yeah, that's apparently.
That's a big gap.
How did you get into the modeling? How did it all start?
Well, I moved, like I was saying, I moved from, I was born in Rio, but I grew up in the Amazon. And then
In the Amazon.
Yeah,
the Amazon.
My mother was a teacher. When my parents divorced, she had a job offer in a village, and we just went.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and then I had a chance to go to New York, and you know, I always say it was my story is a very typical immigrant story. I went because my family was going through a lot of financial hardships. I grew up very poor, and
where did you guys live in New York?
I think Queens most of the time, but I went before my family. I went alone.
Wow. How old were you then?
15 maybe.
Ooh.
Yeah.
15 year old girl on her own.
Yeah. I always tell my mother, I'm like, what were you thinking?
Wow. I'm surprised you even survived.
I mean, who did you stay with when you arrived there all by yourself?
So my mother had a sister who lived there. And I stayed for a short period with her. And I just did all, you know, cleaning, watching kids, working at restaurants. I still had to learn the language as well. I didn't speak a damn word in English. And then at that time, a few years had passed. And I was working as a nanny. I lived with a family that I worked for. And I was on a bus and woman tapped on my shoulder and asked, you know, do you mind me asking what size you wear? I was like,
what?
The first instinct is like, fuck off, lady. What are you talking about?
That's very New York.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We don't hold back. And yeah, so she and I was like, I beg your pardon. And she's like, no, wait, I'm not crazy. Here's my card. I'm a fashion editor at a magazine. I was watching you. I'm like, yeah, I noticed. And have you ever thought of being a plus size model? I'm like, what? What the hell is that? Mm-hmm. And I mean, I knew I could buy clothes for me, but I didn't know that there was an entire industry. So in the back of the card, she just wrote the names of agencies and said, you know, those have plus size divisions. It's a very well-established industry here in Europe. And I think you'd be perfect. You should definitely try. And I was like, okay, this is a prank. It has to be.
You're looking around for cameras.
I actually did. And the bus was packed. I was like, everybody's staring at me. I'm like, oh my God. So it took me a month. You know, I just went home. I'm like, it has to be a joke. Because I didn't know much about the fashion world. All I knew is that for you to be a model, you had to be super thin. Mm. That's all I knew. And so I went home. And about a month later, I decided to go into the agencies. And they take Polaroids and, you know, if we're interested, we'll call you kind of thing. And I got a contract offer from every single one of them.
Gee.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah.
What do you think it is about you? I mean, this is always something every model probably has to think about. You know, am I good enough? Am I going to make it? And in this case for you, you weren't even trying.
Yeah.
And it worked. What do you think you have?
I don't know. I mean, I tend to think today that it was meant to be in a way. I've always been a very loud mouth and a very big feminist. And I've always told people to fuck off when they came and said, you know, you need to lose weight. I'm like, that's none of your business because you don't pay my bills. And so I think it was really meant to be for me because there are tons of other models who are far more beautiful than I am. I'm just really good at what I do, I think.
That's right. I love that you own that. I wish so many more people in South Africa would just own that they're good at something, yeah, and that that's why people pay them to do it.
That's what I'm trying to, like, start, you know, people, get people to talk about it, because I feel like women here really don't embrace their genes in a way. You know, there's a lot of hiding. There's a lot of, I want to have that European look. And I'm like, people need to embrace their genetics. People need to own it. Like, you need to walk down the street and, you know, this is how my family looks like. You know, I have mixed parents, and this is how my grandmother has hips, boobs, and, you know, all that stuff. And so, that's how I'm going to look like.
And it is amazing how, if you look through the history of humanity, if we go through stages where the most ideal kind of beauty is a certain kind of girl, and then that changes. And it goes in waves. If you look at Degas and the kind of women that he was painting, and you look back at the Venus de Milo in ancient Roman Greece, there's a shape to a woman then, which now you wouldn't find on the cover of most magazines.
You know, I think in the past, there's a very small group of people who dominated what was beautiful.
Yeah.
And I have been saying this for the past few years, that social media has literally taken those jobs out of those people's hands. There's a lot of people pissed off about it, I'm sure, because they're not making any more money off of that.
Yeah.
But I think the whole wheel of building insecurities in women's minds is slowly coming apart, and because the world shrunk and people connected with each other. And so the empowering from women to women, you know, across the globe is just massive now.
You said you're a feminist and you grew up with this idea that your mom was very instrumental in kind of making you feel proud of who you were and not taking anyone's nonsense. But the fashion industry is actually quite a chauvinistic, you know, male-dominated, objectifying industry. It's really just about women are almost like just a clothes horse, and they have to be a certain thing to attract men, even though it's for a women's magazine. It's weird. It's a very messed up. You would think that it was designed by someone with psychological problems.
Well, it is.
So the fashion business is strange. And for someone who's as forthright with your opinions as you are, and you say you just don't take any shit from anyone, that must have been a
A lot of opportunities because I just say whatever I want and I do whatever I want. It seems like that was the reason why I was very attracted to come to the show.
Well, you're allowed to say anything you want here. Have you ever had men say to you, especially photographers, because a lot of photographers are creeps, right?
I've worked with a few assholes, yeah.
Yeah. Some of them, I mean, there are probably only a few reasons to become a photographer. One of them might be that you're very good at it, that it's a passion of yours.
Yeah.
It's the biggest hobby in the world, apparently, so everyone thinks they're a photographer.
Apparently so.
And then there are those guys who become a photographer just so that they can get girls to walk around in skimpy clothes around them and take pictures of them and be pervy and salacious.
Yeah, I've heard of those.
You haven't had to encounter any of them?
I've had to encounter a lot of people who have problems with their own body image and their own insecurities, and they rather want to vomit that towards other people. So, but I get paid to do my job, and I'm very professional. So I go in, I do my job, and I leave. I don't feel like I should have to waste my time trying to convince you to like me.
How old were you when you started the modeling?
I'm 36. So it was 14 years ago.
Wow.
It seems like a eon, you know, like, yeah.
To have maintained you in all of that, because in the fashion world, everybody, you find very few people who are self-assured, because a lot of these people are, they know it depends on their looks. They become so introspective. They become so obsessed with and self-absorbed with how they look that it can change the way they look. They can actually start having this body dysmorphia.
Yeah.
You meet a lot of very impressionable young models. They change. It damages them.
I was sharing that story yesterday, how I had a job in Germany and I was working, it was supposed to be me and another model, and after the first look she shot, the director had to call the agency and send her home because she couldn't move her face, so much Botox she had. And the guy's like, modeling is, it's acting in a way. So yeah. You can't send me people that can't move their faces.
Right.
So people do become, it's incredible. And they don't even notice. And they don't think that other people are noticing how much, you know, shit they're putting in their faces. And, you know, taking pills and shaking all day and that kind of stuff.
And not eating.
Yeah, I mean, you have all sorts of crazy crap going on. All
celery
sorts.
Celery sticks and nonsense, yeah. Right? So tell me about this is always something I find very weird. In any business, if your market wants a certain thing, you give them what they want. Any market. If people like Star Wars, you sell them Star Wars merchandise.
Right.
Why is it that women's fashion is always, I mean, you're directing it at women who look like you and Mabale and every other lady in this building now. These are normal size and shape women.
Right.
But the marketing is all to these stick thin, the kinds of girls that I talk about the whole time. How does that happen?
Well, you know, it's changing. I think it's, like I was saying, it's a small group of people that try to dominate and dictate these things. And I think social media has really flipped the table upside down completely, where companies that always reinforce that idea are having to have that shoved down their throats, like, this is not going to fly anymore, because ultimately you're a business and yeah. You need money to survive.
You want to sell clothes, or you want to sell
and it's
sunglasses,
not a,
or whatever it is.
Definitely,
right?
It's not a woman that needs to convey to the clothes. It's you who need to make clothes that fit a human body. You know, it's the other way around. So.
So are you here in South Africa for, remember, it used to be called Donna Claire. Donna is the store
yeah,
now.
Yes, yes.
Right.
It still is called that, yeah. Isn't it?
It's called Donna.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
You're admitting you don't shop there then, right? Is that what you're saying? Or is
no,
it
they
just
actually
changed?
Just relaunched it. Okay. Okay. To be fair, let's be fair.
Yeah, let's be fair, you right. Idiot.
Cool. Call me that. So, a lot of aggression from my left. So, Fluvia, are you here in South Africa to promote them? Are you involved with them?
Yeah. Well, I've been coming to South Africa to work for overseas brands for many years. And I've always really felt at home here because I find a lot of similarities between South Africa and Brazil. And so I wanted to work with a local brand. And it was actually me who went after them. I'm like, I want to start this talk. Yeah. I don't recall ever doing that, but this was the first time that I was like, we need to start talking about it. And it's not going to be through an overseas brand that we're going to start a talk within South Africa. So I went there with my very loud mouth, and I think the director of marketing was like, what the hell is happening here?
I better listen to her.
No, I don't know if that was the case. But anyway, so it just felt kind of everything fit perfectly with their relaunching of the brand. And, you know, now they're pushing towards a more modern, younger kind of fashion, and beautiful stuff is being made, and it's become a really, really good partnership.
And you're the spokesperson now for Donna Claire's Spring Summer 16 collection, right?
Yeah, that's why
that
I'm
sounds
here.
Sounds good. All right. So when you have to put on these clothes, do you get a say in how they look? Are you going to be someone who helps them pick and choose what kind of line they're going to have available for spring?
No, I don't get involved with that part. My part is really just doing the campaigns we've been doing workshops to talk to people about it. We're going to have one tonight in Joburg, and women are going to come. We're going to talk about body image. And
so how do these things work? If I pitch up, because you might be, if you're the kind of person who might be sensitive about these things, the last thing you want to do is go to a workshop about them. It might make you even more sensitive. How do you explain
this? You'd be surprised how many women who are not plus size come to these things, you know?
What are they doing? Spying?
Because people are just tired. People are really tired of being told, like,
you've got to be,
you need to be that way. Well, I have hundreds of people, of women who write to me through Facebook and private messages on Instagram and whatnot. Like, I need to flip my mindset. Like, I watching you talk or hearing you and your history and the way you are, it has really changed my mindset. It's not necessarily something related to being fat or not fat. It's just women are just, especially our generation, I think, it's being swallowed in whole, like, by this whole idea of unachievable, you know, beauty. And it's
you never meet anyone who is 100% happy, though, right? I mean, there's always something. If I think about, you hear these stories about these Hollywood celebrities who are going for plastic surgery, and but you think they look so perfect already. Yeah. Everybody's got some kind of hang up about the way they look. Don't you even have some kind of hang up? Is there some part of your body that you think, ah, that could be better?
Well, you know, I focus more on, I truly do focus more on trying to balance being a mother, having my businesses, doing my modeling career. It really, I have no time left to waste.
Don't worry about that shit.
No, I just, I'm very, on. It's a personal ritual that I've grown in my own mind, that I wake up in the morning, I'm just grateful to be alive. You know, right. I'm grateful for the job I have. I'm grateful not to be in a hospital bed. I'm grateful to be surrounded by people who love me. I'm grateful for the brain God has given to me, you know, so I'm just, I don't have time for that shit.
But in the morning, I mean, you still put on makeup and choose a nice outfit and all that.
If I'm not
stuff.
Working, I actually don't.
What do you do? Walk around in a dressing gown?
Yeah, it's like jeans, sneakers, and that's how I go to work. I just, yeah, I mean, when you're constantly doing that, it's your job to look good. On your days off, you're just like, I need to breathe. And yeah.
How hard is it to pick out a pair of jeans? Because men don't know this. Men have a waist size, and whatever happens under that, you either you like it skinny.
This
or
is actually part of the reason why I hate shopping.
Right. So yeah. Tell me about how hard is it to get the right pair of jeans?
Well, I don't know. If you have a big bum like me, it's kind of difficult, because then you have the waist to bum ratio. It's on. You have to become the best friends with your tailor. That's all I have to say.
Oh, sorry. Or you have.
Jesus, my buddy.
That surprised me even. That was good. I'm sorry.
Or you have to have a collection of belts, that either or. But yeah, it's a pain.
Yeah, I mean, there's some women who specially think about how they can dress to accentuate certain things. And I mean, have you picked up tips like that through the years?
No, I don't follow any rule. I really don't. I think people who set these rules are either out of a job and they need to put that in people's, like, oh, this is the rule. And I'm like, says who? You know, or people have no idea about self-confidence. And I just, you know, to me, that's just, no, I don't. I wear white. I wear linen. I wear whatever the hell I want. I don't care what people think. I think that's just another way of imposing into people's minds that they have to follow rules. It's like,
okay, well, let me ask you something that's happened in the news today that we were all struggling with this morning. So in France, they got these new rules about these burkinis. It's like a Muslim swimming outfit for women that covers everything except the hands, the feet, and the face from the ears forward. And the French police went up to this woman and they made her take it off on the beach, which is very, very bizarre to me.
It's very fucked up, if you ask me.
It really is, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, surely, and this is where you have the intersection of cultures and
I think
and
people are just in a massive panic mode there.
Okay, but first of all, we don't like the idea that women in the Middle East should have to wear certain outfits. And let's face it, men made those rules. And we also don't like the fact that the French police, who are meant to be from an enlightened Western democracy,
yeah,
are going and making a woman undress in front of everybody when it's clearly some culturally that offends her. What's the right way to do this?
And those topics, I often say to each its own, in a sense of, I don't judge how culturally you were brought up, because I do have Muslim friends that are perfectly fine wearing the
hijab,
everything,
or whatever it is,
yeah. And I don't go there because they think it's absurd how naked we constantly are in Brazil and objectified. And I see their point as well. So yeah. I think it's just the action of the police is just a fucked up one.
Yeah. No one should be undressed in public. That seems like something they would do in the 1600s when they called a woman a witch. And,
yeah.
You know, then they burn her at the stake as the next move.
Yeah.
So it's messed up.
Very disrespectful.
How about the amount of money in the fashion business? Do you think that that's outrageous too? I mean, the kind of advertising budgets these big companies have, makeup, hair, clothing, jewelry.
This is why I lose jobs. Because
tell me, no, I want to know.
No, no, I say that without any, you know, I just, it's a wheel that has grown out of proportion, out of building insecurities into people's minds. The more insecure and the more, you know, afraid and the more paranoia you have in your head, the more you buy into it. It's a questioning
makes
that I've
you
had.
Spend on all these things, it'll distract people.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the rat in a wheel. You just don't get anywhere. You just keep running, chasing your own tail, and you forget to live.
Yeah,
that's the point. I often say, you know, this is not. I'm not here to be the front face for like defending any body specifically, any body type or any body shape. I just think it's time that women finally break these damn chains that we're constantly told. We always live on the, you know, demands and guilt trips and, you know, you're never good enough and you're never going, mm-hmm. you don't fit, it's never good enough. So I think, it's an industry that has definitely pocketed a lot of money out of making you feel fucking miserable all the time. If your hair is too curly, needs to be straight. If you don't have boobs, you have to put them in. And if you don't, you have too much, you have to get rid of. It's constantly something, you know, you're never good enough. And, it's time that this stops. It just, we have different genetic pools. There's no getting out of that.
Yeah.
And trying to conform into one mode is just torture. I mean, I'm never going to look like, I don't know, Heidi Klum, you know? But
they've called you the plus-size Giselle.
Yeah.
What are you happy with that? It doesn't seem like you like it at all.
No, you know, this was actually born out of, it was a photo shoot that I was doing in New York City. And the reporter was asking the photographer, you know, how was it working as if we had a third eye? If it's working with a plus size model, is any different?
Yeah.
But apparently it is. And so he was like, no, Fluvia just has this thing that I think all Brazilian models have, which is that innate sensuality when mm-hmm. it's time to work. And at that time, Giselle was actually, we kind of started at the same time or so. And so he's like, it just reminds me of Giselle, the whole, you know, it just comes out. They don't have to try too hard. And the reporter went and, you know, printed in gigantic letters in two full pages, Fluvia is the Giselle Bündchen plus size. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, could you be any more creative or not? Yeah, so that's how it started. And it stuck because I feel like people need to validate my work through a skinny model, because it's not possible that you can be good doing what you do
you can't
being
just
fat.
Be Fluvia. You have to be the plus size Giselle. Now, what about living in the Amazon? I mean, to me, this is fascinating, especially going from the Amazon to New York City. Because you said you were living in a village in the Amazon. Your mom was a teacher.
Yeah.
Now, did you interact there with people who had no connection to all this bullshit in the world of advertising and fashion? And were these people who pretty much lived?
It's very rural country, you know, and I think not too many people realize how gigantic Brazil is. And, it's probably a good contributing factor to the fact that I don't really buy into this crap is that I grew up, you know, fishing, and the main requirements of the house was like, you must read a stack of books every, you know, month. And so I was just busy reading and being a child and, you know, having fun. And there was never such thing as we have to put makeup on, you know, none of that crap. So it was the perfect childhood.
It's amazing. But the contrast must have been incredible from one day walking around in a forest.
It's like from a jungle to another.
Right. Concrete jungle.
Yeah.
And New York, you're very happy living there now?
It's been 20 years, so...
You should be.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very grateful to the life America has given to me. You know, I think every country has their crap and their good.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not happy about certain things, but I'm not happy... I think most people on the planet right now are not happy about something.
You're a Hillary voter, right?
Yeah. I'm a Bernie Sanders voter, but...
Oh, you're disappointed then.
We got rigged on that as well.
The DNC screwed you guys up.
But yeah, I am moving out of the country if that asshole gets voted in. A South African immigration, please call me.
All right, yeah, you can come here. We've got our own problems, trust me. But you're welcome anytime. And listen, it's an absolute pleasure to meet
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Fluvia Lacerda, did I get that right?
Yeah, you did.
Awesome. Beautiful, beautiful woman. Lovely to meet you.
Thank you.
And her face and her famous curves have graced some of the most successful and influential fashion campaigns worldwide. She's in South Africa with Donna, and she thought she'd pop in today to talk to us. And she is outspoken, which I love, about everything. So if you want to know what Fluvia looks like, you'll have to take a look at the picture we take with the podcast. And otherwise, she's going to charge for pictures. So don't mess around. All right, when we come back in a moment, we'll have the unnews, cliffcentral.com, on a Thursday morning. Man, am I happy that it's Friday tomorrow. I think everybody is. Thank you, Fluvia. Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Have a drink on the rocks. It's Nicole Scherzinger. All right. So much still to talk about today, but we'll have to save it until tomorrow because it's time for Unnews. And I'll let you know what else is coming up at cliffcentral.com today. But Margaret Van Wyk's minge is the biggest thing on social media right now. Let's not mess around. So much so, the Hawks are thinking about probing it. Huh? It wouldn't be the first time they've investigated a duos after all. The latest sex tape doing the rounds on the internet is creating a huge stir. It's apparently Harambe the gorilla, the late cult hero from Cincinnati Zoo. Nobody from the zoo staff will comment on the validity of the sex tape, but Maggie, a rather mouthy gibbon, says it was Harambe in the video, and it's not the only one out there. Harambe was apparently an animal in the sack. Sepp Blatter is back in court today for a final attempt to clear his name. The 80-year-old is currently banned from all football after being a money-hungry tyrant and being proven so, and said that he's desperate to get back into the game, as there simply isn't enough money to steal in European politics, his only other employment option. We will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9 in the morning. Have a great Thursday. In case you haven't had enough today, in case you need more, just go to cliffcentral.com for an update on all the amazing shows to keep your Thursday action-packed. And if you have any questions, send them to mabali@cliffcentral.com. She's got time to answer your questions.
I have all the time in the world.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, thank you very much, and blah, 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 blah. Be good if you're not, you know what.
We've seen what happens when you take photos. Is they get dropped in the wrong WhatsApp groups.
Okay, here's the good point. Sorry, let's just clear this up one last time. Do not take pictures of your private parts and post them on the hockey group. Clearly, the hockey group is the last place you want to find a picture of yourself. And all those women who sold out poor old Margaret, you should be ashamed of yourselves. CliffCentral.com.